Okay, Kum Lehne Le Black Gemara, or Dafir Gimel Amar Aleph. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus, we're going to have to use modern technology to learn and propagate Torah. Okay, we are up to Dafir Gimel Amar Aleph, 5 lines from the top. So the Mishnah told us that we're talking about different kinds of gzeiros, safeguards that were put into place to prevent us from leading into an avera from the Torah. So the end of the Mishnah says, similarly, a male Zav who had an emission, and a female Zava. So she wasn't a Nida, she's a Zava. Nida is when it's within her cycle, and Zava is when she bleeds outside of a cycle, so she needs 7 clean days. That they should not sit together and have a meal, because they can it can lead them to commit an Avera between themselves. Says the Gemara, Tanya be learned. Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Shimon ben Elazar says, Boyere, come and see ad heichen parts of Tara b'Yisrael. Come and see how widespread it is, the laws of Tara amongst the Jewish people, how they maintain and how vigilant they are when it comes to remaining pure. Shalei sheninu, nowhere does the Mishnah say, lo yoichel hatoyer im hatmeya. Nowhere does the Mishnah say that a person who maintains the laws of Tara should not sit together with a woman who is Tamei. There's no need to tell us that. Why? If the wife was a Zava and the husband was Tara, there's no way in the world they would sit together, because he wants to maintain his Tara. The Mishnah only has to tell us, because no, the people are so vigilant, they wouldn't sit together. The Mishnah only has to tell us regarding a man who is Tamei anyway, and the wife is Tamei anyway, so they would eat together under normal circumstances. But over here, because he's a Zava, she's a Zava, and even though he's a Zav as well, and it's painful and so on, they shouldn't sit together. So it shows you how careful people generally were. Similar. It says also, Zav Parush im Zav Amaretz, a male Zav, who is generally very vigilant when it comes to the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, should refrain from eating together with a Zav who happens to be an Amaretz. Now the obvious question is, at this juncture, they're both Tamei. So what's the difference? So the Amaretz generally eats Tamediga food, but the Zav also, whatever he touches becomes Tamei. So what's the big deal? So the Brayi says here, Shema Yagilen Esle, because maybe you become friendly. Says the Gemara, who cares? Who cares if they become too familiar with each other? What's the concern? We're scared, not that you become friendly, but that the Amaretz will give you some of his food, which happens to be Tamei. So Gemara asks the obvious question. Whatever this Zav, that doesn't matter in his time when he's tired. He's very, you know, he has a very high regard for Torah and food, but at this stage, whatever he touches becomes Tameh. So what's wrong? So we have two opinions. Amar Abaye says, Gzeira, we are concerned, Shema Yachilenu Dvarim She'enam Mesukarim. We are concerned that maybe the Amoritz will give him to eat food, not a question of Tumatara, but that he didn't give Maisa properly from. And therefore, that's my concern, that you're eating food that doesn't matter your tummy, you still have to give him Maisa. And Rava says that isn't a concern, because the Rav Amiha Oretz Ma'asinhein. Most Amaratzim give Maisa. When it comes to Truma, all Amaratzim kept it properly. When it comes to Maisa, most of them kept it, but not all of them. So therefore, I wouldn't be concerned that Ma'aretz might feed you, you know, it's only a minority. We have a different issue here altogether. El Hashem Yei Rogil Etzla, if you become too familiar, the Yachilenu Dvarim Tmei Meitarasa, that familiarity will continue even after you both become tired, and he'll invite you to a meal, and you feel uncomfortable, and you'll go eat, and things can happen there that he'll give you to eat Tamediga food. Now everyone agrees that Rav Amaratzim Asenhein. It's only a Miyat that don't, but it's a Miyat Dishkiach. It's a Miyat. It's not just a very small minority. It's quite a large minority. So Abaye therefore says that's a concern, and Rava says the fact that it's a Miyat, that's not really a concern. More of our concern is what happens afterwards. You know, if you become too familiar, then he might continue eating together. You might continue eating together even after you become tired. And sitting where right, Iboilu, we have a question. Nida, a woman that's a nida, ma'ush atishin in baila, she allowed to lie in with her husband in bed. In a case we're talking about where he is already tamei as well. So it's not a question of him touching her. She's Tamei, he'll become Tamei, he's Tamei as well. Or today that we don't really care about the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. Now our concern is that she's a Nida. So So our concern is he be big dove, the who be big dove, but they're both sleeping with their clothes on. So therefore, do we say because they have a reminder, a hekera, there's no concern or not? We know the law is that if in Gemara Ksuvos we'll learn that if a husband says to a wife, let's get married, blah, 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 we'll have, but we'll always go to sleep without clothes on, the din is that they have to give a get. So normal conditions are not to sleep with the clothes on. So the question is, if they sleep with the clothes on, is that enough of a heker that nothing untoward will take place? That's the question. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Toshma, come in here. I will bring you a raya. It says, ha'oif oile imagivina la shulchan. You can put chicken and cheese on the same table. And why can you do that? Because Beis Shammai is of the opinion that even eating chicken and milk together is only an issa d'rabbanan. We had in Chulun an argument with Osir Mahatera, Basar Oy B'chalav was a rabbanan gzeda that if we allow you to eat poultry with milk next time you'll eat beef with milk. So it's only Osir d'rabbanan. So because he holds the whole issa d'rabbanan as well, we're not going to make a further safeguard that you shouldn't even have it on the same table. However, Ve'ein Nechel, you don't eat them together. Divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, La oylev le'nechel. Not only you don't eat together, you don't even put on the table together. And if either Beis Hillel holds that it's mahatoira, chicken and milk, or he just feels that it's like one big zera, it's not like an additional safeguard, this is all the same idea, not to have poultry and milk together. So we see from here that what? You cannot even have them together on the table, says Hillel. So same thing, the husband and the wife, even with the clothes on, shouldn't be on the table. Says the Gemara, what are you comparing? Shiny Hashem, there by the table, we're more concerned the lekadeus. You're there on your own. Because you're there on your own, you might forget yourself, you might eat or something, but over here you have your wife with you. And therefore you'll remind each other, perhaps, that, you know, don't do anything wrong, it's, you know, I'm an idiot, you're, and so on. So maybe that's sufficient. Says the Gemara, Hochi Nami, Mistabra, I'll prove it to you. The Hechadi Kadei is shiny. If you have two people sitting there, it's different. The Ketani Sefer says later on, Shnei Aksanoim, there were two people. Two guests. They're both permitted to eat on the same table. One guy can eat meat and one guy can eat cheese. We're not worried that you're going to swap or you're going to share. And what's the reason for that? Because there are two people there. And we learn further a comment. There's no familiarity, so therefore, there's generally, I'm not going to, you're not going to give me some of your food, and I'm not going to give you some of my food. But the familiar, then asurim it's asur. So therefore, in the case of here, the husband and the wife, because even though the two people are familiar, and therefore they should be forbidden, with even though the clothes are on. So this should resolve your question, if they're allowed to sleep together, you're not allowed to, because the familiarity, therefore, will lead to other things. Says he went again, how can you compare? Here we have a further element by the case of a husband and wife that perhaps will allow them to sleep together, and that is, hasam deis ik, in the case of the poultry and the milk, there are two people there, true, but shini leka. There's nothing there to remind them that they shouldn't share. They're just eating normal food. Hacha ika day, here you have two factors. Here there are two people, husband and wife, but furthermore, ika shini. They don't generally sleep with the clothes on. And that in itself will remind them that why is this so? Because they're in a different state. And therefore, maybe dais and heka together makes it allowable. So the Gemara doesn't resolve it in this version. Ikadami is another version, Tashma. That Rabbi Yezhi went straight to this. Toshma Shimon Goleimer went straight, bypassed Shamin Hill, went straight to this. Shimon Goleimer, Shnex, and I am two guests, Eichon Shunach on tables, that Bosik, and meat and cheese, meat and all, and Lodon, and Abbe Mishmol, Leishon, when is that talking about? They'll say, Ema Kidin, that they don't recognize, they're familiar. Abba Makidin says, also, they're familiar, it's also. Rahani Nam Makidin says, that's the Chayda, the husband and wife, they know each other, it should be forbidden. So Gemara says, no proof from there, because Hasam Day is Ika, Shini Lekka. They all have two people, but there's nothing to remind them. Hach Ika Day is Ika, here you have both. You have two people, husband and wife, and they're fully clothed. So you have a shini that might be sufficient to remind them. Says the Gemara, Toshma, come in here. It says, Le Yechel Hazov Im Hazov. It says in our Mishnah, a male Zov and a female Zov should not eat together, Mishim Hergul Haveda, because they can lead to Haveda. So we see we're concerned. Says the Gemara again. Hochanami here, Deyasika true, it's a husband and wife, but she didn't like it, they're just eating normal food. So therefore, we don't want them together. But if they're sleeping with the clothes on, maybe there's an additional heker, and that's all right. Toshma, come in here. I'll bring you a right from a pasuk where it talks about a certain tzaddik that doesn't have to rely on Zchus Avos because he has all these merits on his own. And what are they, for example? Elohorim le'ochal, he didn't eat through the mountain, ve'ena le'nasa agalula beis Yisroel, he didn't turn his eyes towards Avodah Zarah, ve'eishas re'eyu le'timei, he didn't contaminate the wife of his friend, And he didn't get his own wife. If she was a nida, he was never close. So we see we're comparing here adultery to you with your own wife. We're comparing the two. In what way we're comparing it? My Isha, when it comes to your friend's wife, who big the bibi, even if you're fully clothed, you're not allowed to sleep together. So af ishta need, and that's a common sense. Af ishta, according to Taisa, Rashi says, how do you know you're not allowed to sleep together with your friend's wife if they're fully dressed? Isn't that the same question? Says Rashi, no, because it comes into play yichud. As a machlekes rishonim, if yichud is also mahatayra, even with an ishta or not, Rashi says it's also mahatayra from a pasuk, and therefore we'll learn that in the end of kedushin. And therefore, so just like over there, you're not allowed to be with your friend's wife, even though you're fully clothed. And the Torah is equating your wife and nida. Afish nida, who be big dove, he big dove, usher. For the clothes, usher. Shema, no, that's a valid proof. The Gemara in another place, and Hedron learns from this pasuk here, when it says, Ashes of Eyu, it means you're not allowed to open a store next to somebody else and compete with somebody directly. It's called Yoyed Nosher Chaveda, you're trying to close them down. But that's only figure, that's only allegorically. This is this is a hekesh. Says in Gemara, Oplige, Rabbi Yosef argues Rapodus. Rabbi Yosef, who learns from the psukim that you're not allowed to, a husband and wife not sleep together fully clothed, argues Rapodus. Why? Rapodus la osa teira el kurva shagila rabavad. The teira did not ban mahateira, only tashmish, only if having relations, marital relations. That's osa mahateira. All other touching and everything else is only midrabban. Only gias or kurvas are only midrabban. And therefore, according to Rapapadas, where Rashi learns, others disagree, if they're fully clothed, there's a step away. Touching and all that nagia with his wife and nida is only midrabban. So this is an additional layer, and we don't have an additional layer to an isa midrabban. So according to Rabbi Yosef, a husband and wife are allowed to permitted to sleep together, fully clothed, and according to Rabbi Podas and according to Rabbi Yosef, you're not allowed to. That's how Rashi learns. Others disagree. Shenemar, it says in Pasuk Ish El Kol She'er Besari to his wife Le Sikrevu Legalis Erva. So clearly, what does the Torah consider Sikrevu close only if it's relations? The Gemara tells a very difficult story to comprehend. But Ula Ki Havi Osim Bei Rav, when he came back from yeshiva. And he wanted to meet his sisters and his parents. Have a menashigul la'achva, so he would kiss his sister, abe chadayu on her bosom. Va'anu, others say abe yadayu on her hands. And Taisa already says that Ula was such a tzaddik, so he knew, like we had in the Gemara in Brachas, there Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Gidl, who sat there by the moon's mikveh because they were unfazed. So he knew he was such a tzaddik that he gave himself certain allowances. Why he necessarily kissed her on the bosom, never really found a very good shot for that. But we had also in Ksuvis, where Rav Ada Bar Abba used to carry sister on her shoulders, and so on. Because they were great tzaddikim, so they didn't see them, or they weren't in any way aroused by these things. But no one else should do that. Upliga did that today. And he argues with himself. Ula said elsewhere when he came to other people he would paskin you shouldn't be close at all whatsoever. Because it says lech lech go amri nazir. We tell a nazir who has to refrain from drinking wine. We tell him go schar schar around the counter, but make circles, but never get close to the vineyard because you might end up drinking wine and eating grapes and all that. So therefore, Ula would personally behave one way because he was such a tzaddik, but for everybody else, he would tell them, keep your distance. So we're talking about, kiruv, you have to keep your distance. So Gemara tells us the story in light of this. Tani Eliyo, the Yeshiva Eliyo told us, big argument, whenever it says Tani Eliyo, is that Eliyo Hanavi, which many people learn that it is, the Yeshiva Eliyo. And others say, there's no such person as Eliyo. It wasn't Eliyo Hanavi, it was a Tana Eliyo, who lived for many hundreds of years. Because otherwise you have a problem, Torah Leba Shemaimi. If Torah is not in heaven, how can you ever ask Eliyo to paskin halachas when he's a malach? And how can he paskin? So it must be a Tana. Others, Rakhsam Sefer in sixth chelik there says no, because Eliyahu Navi, when he learned with the Tanaim and Amaraim, he came down in the form of a human. And because he started out as a human, whenever he came down in the form of a human, he was no longer in the malach, he was just a person. And therefore he was allowed to paskin while he was in the human form. But anyway, what happened was Ma'aseh B'Talmud is a story with a student Shoshana Harbe. He learned a lot. He learned a lot of Mishnayos, the Korah Harbe, the Chumash, the Shimish, Tamid Chacham Harbe. He served a lot of rabbis, and Rashi says it means he learned Gemara, understood the reasoning behind everything. Umeis bechatz yamav, and he died prematurely. Vahoisa ishtay nadal, she was very, you know, grieved, and she took tefillah, his tefillin, umachzerosim batik, and see about the middle, she went around all the shuls and based on medish, batim medish with the tefillin, to when she brought the tefillin, it sort of brought it home that this is real. But Amru Lehem, as she said to them, Ksiv b'Torah, in your own Torah, it says that when you learn Torah, ki hu chayecha v'oyrech yamecha, not only this is your life, but you will live a long life. Ba'ali, my husband, Shoshana harbe, v'kora harbe, mishnayis Torah, v'shimish tamid chacham harbe, and he served so many tamachamim to, so that he understood, he stood all the laws as well. And b'pnei ma mes b'chatzi yamav, why in the world did he die prematurely? V'lo'ad ha'machzira, none of the students in that yeshiva were able to respond. Dover anything. Pamachas nisarachti etzla. So Elio is saying, I once went to her. V'hoisa mesicha kolaisa mura. She repeated the whole story again. Obviously, she was very grieved. V'amartila said, beat it, my daughter. Tell me. B'mein nidai secha. While you were a nida, ma'u etzlecha. How did he behave towards you? Omrili, she said, chas v'shalom. He wouldn't do anything. Afil b'ezbektanu lo nagbi. He didn't touch me at all. So then he said, b'mei livunecha. In the time that, you know, that a zava has to count 7 clean days. When you have to be white and clean, everything else. And you have to wear white clothes so we can see if there's any, if you're spotting or not. Tell me, how was he? Ochali mi, v'shasi mi, he ate with me, he drank with me, v'yoshi mi, slept with me, b'kiru basa. We were close. Also, he never had any indications that he had any other interests. V'amar tilo, and I said to her, Baruch ha'makom shehargu. Not very nice. Thank God he was killed. Shalom nasa ponim l'tayda. That he didn't show any recognition to what the Torah says. We shouldn't get close. But you shouldn't get close to. So this sounds more like Rabbi Yosef that it's Mahatera that you shouldn't get close to your wife. Not just having tashmish, but you shouldn't get close at all. And therefore, even the clothes on is asum d'rabban. Kiyosav dimi amma. What happened here? What did he? You didn't have any relations. Mita chodav. In fact, he didn't even touch her. It was a very large bed, and the students thought that's all right. While she's a Liban, since I'm not touching her, just because we're on the same bed, it's all right. And yet, it wasn't right. I'm because you're on the same bed and you feel each other's impressions on the bed and the weight and so on. Amri Yosef, Siner Mafsik Beinoy Lebeinoy. She had like a chastity belt between her, and therefore he thought that's all right. Nothing can ever happen. And it was still wrong. Tosis tries to understand how this student thought that you're allowed to. We're talking about a Talmud Chacham. How did he even think you're allowed to when it's Asr, Rabbanah, whatever it is, but how do you think you're allowed to? So Tosis says, interesting. It's talking about, remember, according to halacha, nida doesn't have to have zayin nikiyim. It's only a chumrah that the woman took upon herself. So what happened was, the custom used to be initially, which changed now, that the women who were a nida, they knew they were a nida, and yet they were machmirt, that they, you know, they waited the fire, the days that they stopped bleeding, and then they started counting another 17 days. What they used to do is they used to count 7 days, finish their nida period, and go to the mikveh. And then they did another 7 days, and they made sure they didn't spot, and to fulfill also that chumrah of behaving like a zava. So he thought, since my wife went to the mikveh, you used to go to mikveh twice, and then at the end of the second 7 days, went to the mikveh again to remove that chumrah that they took upon themselves. So he thought, in this case, because the nidah mahatera is over, she went to the mikveh, she's no longer nidah mahatera. The whole thing is a chumrah that woman took on, or midrabbanan, for another 7 days. So where it's only midrabbanan to be so machmeh that you're not allowed to even be on the same bed, who said? That's why he took that leniency. But he was wrong, because once they took over, they decided that all women treat themselves like a zava, then that's how you have to behave yourself. There's a big machlek in the Rambam and the Ramban, whether the Isra Negiya with a wife and either is Mahatayra or Midrabbanon. And the Ramban used the proof right here, the Gemara says, Helio said he deserved to die, Shalonasa Ponin Latayra. He didn't give enough recognition to the Tayra. Says the Ramban, it means it's only Rabbanan. Because if it's Mahatayda, it's the wrong words to use. He should have said, Shehogu Sha'ovar ala Tayda. He desecrated the Tayda. Shalom Nasa Pan al Tayda means he didn't give enough honor and respect to the Tayda, which means only the Rabbanan. The Rambam learns, like some of the other Rishayim, that Shalom Nasa Pan al Tayda is not referring to the student, referring to Hashem. That the reason why Hashem killed him is Shalom Nasa Pan al Tayda, he felt that this Talmud Chacham wasn't following the Tayda properly. Because it's Mahatera also. Anyway, Mishnah. The Elu, so we're talking now a bunch of Gezeidahs. The Elu mina halachas, these are from the halachas. The last things we learned was about you're not allowed to flick a fly or a flea or a louse from your clothing. La'oidaner, nor should you read La'oidaner. Those are two Gezeidahs. And then in further Mishnahs, we're going to learn some more Gezeidahs about what you can do Friday afternoon. So it says, "Eluminalachas." Right at this stage, we don't know what we're referring to—the previous Mishnah or the following Mishnahs. She'omru, they said, "Ba'alias Chananya Mechizki Megorim." There was the attic of Chananya Mechizki Megorim, was a very special person because he reconciled Yecheskel, Tanach Yecheskel, with the Torah. There are a number of discrepancies. We had Mortinus in other places. A number of discrepancies which he basically fixed up, and he had while they were there, there was all these rabbis. You know what? Let's make some more decrees, and one of them was She'olu Levakrei. And they went to visit him. Nimnu v'rabu beisham beisil. Punt the mazel. Beishamai generally had far less students than Beisil. But up there in that attic, Beishamai had more students than Beisil. And so Beishamai said, okay, let's have a vote right now. And we always follow the rabbim. The yudches dvorim goes away by him. And that day, 18 decrees were put into place because Shammai outnumbered Beisil. And we're saying more. Everyone did. We put a sword in front of the shoulder and let everybody in or out. Beishamai out. Now, that's the only way Beishamai can get rules like him. Anyway. How do you read the Mishnah? Does it say Elu these? That means what's coming up, the next Mishnah? These are the decrees? The previous Mishnah, they were part of the 18 decrees. Hani the Omron, those are we said, or Elu Tanan, the next Mishnah. Tashma, come in here. It says, you shouldn't yet flick off those louse or lice from your clothing or to candlelight. The ain't koyd in learner. It's just a brisa. And nor should you read and candlelight. The elu min halachish amr b'lichnai mechizkim regarden. Says and these were shmamenov elu tanan shmamenov. Right. This mishnah is follows the previous mishnah. Those two are part of the 18 zeres, and we'll soon see what the 18 zeres are. Tana mami learned. Mi kosev megillas tainus. Who wrote down? There's a document that they wrote down, recording all the days that the Eden found themselves in the tzara, and then they were sort of saved, and they made it a tainus out of it. And they, even though you didn't record things, we already had the Hema base where they recorded a lone opinion. But this is recorded for people to remember which days they should, you're not allowed to make, on these days, you're not allowed to make a hesped, you know, make a eulogy, you're not allowed to fast on these days, because they're Yom Tov. And we'll have more time to some of these days, and then, you know, and we'll discuss them. Yemen, Yikonar, and all that. So who wrote it? Chananya Bechizka Sayata and all of his supporters. They loved Tzaris. Rashi says, what do you mean they loved Tzaris? Rashi says they loved the fact that they were rescued from the Tzara, which is a Yom Tov, because they loved miracles. And they used to write down the day, they record the days of the miracle happened and what exactly happened, and would say, these days you shouldn't fast and so on. The Masha finds it very problematic. Masha says, and he shouldn't then have said, Shemechab Mesa Tzaris, they loved Tzaris. He should have said, Shemechab Mesa Nisim, they loved miracles. Why is it they loved Tzaris? And why is the book called Megillas Tainus? It should be called Megillas Yom Tov. So the Masha says a fascinating thing. They actually loved Tzaris. Because when they had Tzaris, that means they were being cleansed and all the sins are being expunged and they're being and the Eibishter is being mechaper them. And then there was a nest afterwards. So they're celebrating. But what did they enjoy the nest? They enjoyed the nest because they had a Tzaris. They were able to cleanse them from all of the Avedas that they did. And that's why they call Megillas Tainus. The emphasis is on the Tainus part, on the Tzaris. We also do it. Why don't we continue recording the other events? Because if so, every single day we would be a Yom Tov. It's too much. It's like these books they have, Yom Lashonah, where they record every day a different tzaddik who passed away, so you don't have to say tachlum on that particular day. I remember I was in one of these shuls, a Polish shul there, where they used to, every single day, if somebody pulled out the sefer, they would say, this great tzaddik passed away today, no tachlum. I remember there was one day that it was empty, blank. Nobody passed away, at least unknown, on that day. So the Gabe got up and he said, the fact that no great tzaddik died today is the biggest yom tov possible. No tachlum. So that's what he's saying. If we go right down, record every tzar, every yom tov, we would have a lot of problems. We have too many days. Another reason is perhaps ain't shaita nivga. A shaita doesn't really feel. Today we're not so sensitive to these issues here. We're not so sensitive to the miracles. And according to Masha, we're not so sensitive to the tzaras and realizing that it comes from Hashem, all these tzaras, and that it's for our benefit. And another pshat, ain't basar hameis margish beizemel. The dead flesh does not feel when you cut it off. And so therefore, again, we don't feel the tzar. It's not so. That no, you're talking about a worm to a dead body is like a needle to a living person. No, they do feel the pain. According to the Yom Tov and others, it's not that the body feels the pain. You're dead. The person has passed away. It means his neshama feels the pain to see how the body that was his host for so many years is now being degraded and decomposed. Shneimer says, "Ach psorei olav yichav." his flesh is painful, the nafshe olav te'avel, and his nefesh mourns it. So this is a proof to Tez Yantav, it's a nefesh, it's more spiritual or metaphysical than it is physical. So the Gemara says clearly that the dead flesh does feel pain. So what are you telling me, that we don't feel the pain? A living person, if you have to have some dead, carry some dead skin, that dead skin, if you cut it off, you don't really feel the pain. Really, you should remember this person in good. This person was extraordinary. If not for him, we would have concealed the book of Yecheskel, because there are so many discrepancies with the Torah and contradictions that we didn't know how to resolve it, and we decided to hide it. We'll have more time to some of them. Because the words over there are contradicting to the words of the Torah. Ma'asa, what do you do? One day he said, guys, we're bringing up 300 barrels of oil, which is a Lashon Guzma, but the idea was they're going to stay up all night, or as long as it takes. The Yashab Ali Vedoshan, and they resolved every single contradiction they can find. And they resolved it. Well, one of them, Rashi brings example, is it says in the Pasuk that a Kohen shouldn't eat treif. So it sounds like from there, but Yisrael is allowed to eat treif, unheard of. So he explained that it means was a koyin korbanis, they do malika, they use the thumbnail to cut to shecht rather than a knife to shecht, and for us it would be treif, and for a koyin it's all right. So it's referring to that. So therefore, it's telling the koyin, don't use your thumbnail for an ordinary bird. When it comes to chulin, I only allowed you for korbanos. That's why the kohen were warned separately from everybody else. Now, Shmuel and Ashdav Gadol, they decreed 18 things. Maniyu, what are they? Shmuel said, what are they? That now we learned, and the Gemara in the next few blots are going to explain each one. Elu paisinus atruma. So we know regarding the laws of truma, you know, the tumah we already had. So you have avi avos atumah, the corpse. Then you have an avat tumah, somebody touches a corpse, and anyone that comes in contact with avat tumah comes tummy as well. They become a rishon atumah. But a rishon atumah is only a rishon atumah food and drink is the only thing that becomes a rishon atumah, and they can only pass on to a sheni tumah. Only goes to a sheni tumah. That's it. So food cannot pass on tumah to a person, and the kelim cannot pass on food to a person if they're a rishon or a sheni. Now chulin, the end of the line is a sheni, so we call a rishon tame because the food of a rishon can make a next generation a sheni, but no further. So the first generation is called tame, and the second one is called pasul, because that's the end of the line. When it comes to truma, you can go, we're stricter, and we can go to a shlishi. So the rishon and a sheni are called tame, and the shlishi is called pasul. When it comes to hegdish, we go one more generation, go four. So we say the first three are called tamei, and the fourth one is called pasul. And because each level has to be more vigilant, so what's tahir for chulin, for example, it could be tamei for truma. And what's sufficient for truma is tamei for hegdish. So he's saying over here is these are the gzeiros, the layers that the rabbis added on. Eilu paisles a truma. The following will pasul truma. Ha'oichel oichel rishon, and if a person eats oichel, which is a rishon, and oichel oichel sheni. Or if a person, no, those mahatoyda. If a person eats food, he does not become tamei. The only food that can be tamei a person is if he ate an avelus oiftor. If a bird, a kosher bird, died by itself, he didn't shecht it, and you eat it while consuming it, you become tamei. But if you eat in the veil of a behemoth, you cannot become tamei. Okay, so if the rabbanu came along and added on that if you ate this food, that you become tamei. And you don't have to wait, all you have to do is go to mikveh, you don't have to wait anymore till the night. So therefore you have the ability to, if you come in contact with truma, you make a tamei. V'hasheise mashkin tamein. And if you drink liquids that are tamei, even though normally matar, a person does not get affected, the rabbanu said you do. We'll see why later. Next one is v'habareshe v'rubei b'mayim shuvin. If after you went to the mikveh, you went and took a shower, you become tummy again. That's why many say that you take a shower before you go to the mikveh, and if you take a shower after the mikveh, you go home and take a shower, not at the mikveh itself. Because then you just remove whatever you did. The tor and a tor digger person, shenoflu al roisha verubay, if it fell on him, shloisha leigen maim. Three leigen of water as well, as the Xerid Rabban, we'll see later why, that he actually becomes tummy. The hasefer. All Svarim, all Kisvei Kodesh, Tanakh, become, if you touch them, you become tamei for truma. We'll see later why and how, what conditions. Vayidaim, a person's hands generally are always tamei. You have to wash them. And vahatvul yoim, and somebody went to the mikveh after he was tamei. You have to wait for the sunset. It's a tvul yoim, but that luchayda is not one of the 18 things because mahatayda a tvul yoim is still tamei. If he touches truma, becomes tamei. We will discuss that. If you have food or kelim that became tamei by touching liquid, that's tamei, which you will explain later as well. So let's go through the first thing. Who says that if somebody ate food that was original tumah, or if somebody ate food that was a sheni tumah, mifsal pasli? So what does he do to the truma? The truma becomes a shlishi. It sounds like to me that even though the food you ate was original, you only become a sheni, and therefore when you touch truma, the truma becomes pasul, because that's the end of the line, a shlishi. Who holds that even the oichel rishon, you become a sheni, and therefore truma is a pasul? Mifse pasul tmui lo tmutame. You only make the truma pasul, not tame. Amar Rabbi Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Shuhi. There's an argument between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Eliezer, and this follows the view of Rabbi Shua. What's the story? That now we learn, Rabbi Eliezer says, ha oichel rishon, if somebody eats food that is a rishon l'tumah, so the Rabbanan made him a rishon, but he actually becomes like the food that he ate, so he becomes a rishon. V'oichel oichel sheni, and if somebody eats food that is tamei sheni, that everyone agrees, you become like the food, you become a sheni, as far as truma is concerned, but truma only as far as truma is concerned. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, that if you ate a rishon, you become a rishon. And oichel shlishi, if you ate a shlishi, you become a shlishi. Which, as far as truma is concerned, there's no, that's it, doesn't matter. You can touch truma, nothing will happen. But if you touch kodesh, you pass kabanas, for example, you pass the carbon because you're a shlishi. And by kabanas, we go to a revi. Rabbi Shuad says no. I believe, regardless of whether the food was original tuma, or the food is a sheni tuma, you are sachakol a sheni, which means you don't affect chulin at all, you only affect truma. Not like Rabbi Eliezer that says you become a rishon, so if you touch chulin, it becomes pasul. Rabbi Shua says no. Since Mahatayda, a person cannot become tami from food, it's only rabbanon. Whatever you ate, you only become a sheni, so therefore it's only concern regarding truma. It's no concern regarding chulin. Shlishi, but if you ate a shlishi, you, Rabbi Eliezer, says that you become a shlishi, so you pasul hegdish. I'm going to maybe machmer over you. Sheni le kodesh. You become a sheni as far as kodesh is concerned, which means if you touch kachim, they become a shlishi and they have the capacity to pasul other kachim. The ain sheni le truma, but there's no sheni by truma. In other words, you become a sheni only as far as kodesh is concerned, but as far as truma is concerned, you're a shlishi, and therefore you cannot affect it any further, because you cannot go beyond a shlishi by truma. So if you touch truma, nothing happened. But as far as hegdish is concerned, not only are you a shlishi, we raise you on, and you become a sheni. And what are we talking about over here? We're talking about chulin shenasu al taras truma. We're talking about that you ate chulin, and you took care of it, you were vigilant, you made sure that you didn't become tamed, but you only did agree of that you would normally take care of truma. But so therefore, you become, if you ate chulin that was made as if it was truma, altaras a truma, then you, as far as kodesh is concerned, it's not good enough. You now become a sheni, and you have to go to mikveh, and as soon as you go to mikveh, you're right. But chulin itself is no shlishi, obviously. So we're talking about chulin, shenasu altaras a truma. So Gemara now explains. So this is the gzera. Now, why did they make this gzera? Oichel oichel rishon, v'oichel oichel sheni. My time with God's Rabban Tumah. Why did they say that if you ate food, which the Torah says doesn't have no effect on you? So why did the Chachamim say that if you ate a rishon tumah? Had a machlek is whether you become a rishon tumah like Rabbi Lezer, or you become a sheni like Rabbi Shua. And if you ate a sheni tumah, become a sheni. Why? As far as tumah is concerned, what do we worry about? Says, you know what? I'll tell you what we worry about. Zinin on occasion, the oichel oichel tumen. You think, well, it's no problem. Food doesn't impact on me, so I'll eat rishon l'tumah, shein l'tumah. But at the same time, you have to drown your food with drink. You won't be that concerned. V'shakil mashkin the truma. You will take a drink of truma. Now, what happens if a sheni touches truma? It becomes pasul. That means in your mouth, you just pasul the truma. V'shadil puma. You put it in your mouth. Upasul luhu, and you made the truma into a shlishi. And the Torah says that you have to mishmeres truma. So you have to watch my truma. And therefore we said that maybe when you eat, that a person should not eat any food that is tamei. because you might drink truma and you'll ruin that and you'll turn and you'll passel that. Okay. Shows some mashkin tmei. And then the last thing you said was if you drink tamadika drinks, which again, according to Ted, has no effect on you, we'll say that you're a sheni. As far as truma is concerned, what do you word now? My time it goes with beta bonin. Why do we say that the drink, you shouldn't drink tamadika drinks, and the rabbana said you become tamay? Again, zimnin de shosa mashkin, you might drink a drink, think, well, who cares if it's tamay that has no bearing on me, tmei. But the shakal oichel the truma, at the same time, you then take a piece of food of truma, v'shadi l'puma, and you'll throw it down your mouth, u'pasalu, and that truma will become pasal from a sheni of chulim. So therefore we pass. Why do you break it up into two parts over here? One is regarding food, that we said it's matami a person, one regarding drink. Why do you have to say, what do you have to make two decrees for? It's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. I would have thought, it's common that when you eat something, you drown it with a drink. It's not common that when you drink something, you drown it with a piece of food. So I would have thought maybe it's so remote. Why should we worry? Let him drink tamadika drinks. We're not really worried that he's going to take some food at the same time to drown out the drink that he's drinking. And therefore, we shouldn't be concerned. Let him drink the tamadika drink. Kamashalanda, we're concerned as well. When it comes to truma, we take extra precautions, and this is them. Okay, we'll stop playing tomorrow, Mr. Shem. Same time?
Motto.
Yeah.